Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Again, it's crossandthrone.com. Our phone number, 847-312-4676. At our website, please go there. You can get a copy of the Companion Bible, and you can also get a copy of the Companion Bible Appendices. And all these programs you're listening to are free at our website. You can go there and listen to them or download them. And we pray that you would do that and that you would go back and search the Scriptures yourselves and see whether these things be so. And one of the things we ask you more than anything, whether you agree with us here on this program or not, our goal, one of our desires is we're teaching what we believe to be the truth, but we want you to prove it for yourselves. We want you to become Bible readers. You can read through the Scriptures once in a year if you put a little effort into it, and it's a great habit to get into, and it'll build discipline in your life, but you need to be a student of all Scripture from cover to cover. Well, I want to start today. We're going to have a little short series. It'll probably take two programs, hopefully not three, but we'll try to get it done in two here. It's called The Middle Wall Partition. We believe this is a very important topic in understanding dispensational truth and what is your calling for today. And in Acts 28:20, I want to read a verse. I want to do a comparison of two verses, and then we'll get on with our topic. In Acts 28:20, the Apostle Paul says this, "For the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." I'm going to repeat it. "For the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." That's Acts 28:20. Then you turn to Ephesians chapter 3, and Paul says this in verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." One place he's the prisoner for the hope of Israel. He's bound with chains for the hope of Israel. Here he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And I believe that that's just not a distinction for no reason, but it's there for a purpose, and we'll get into that as we study. Now, in Acts 13:2, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Although most of Christendom has placed the beginning of the church at the cross or at Pentecost, some even go back to the Garden of Eden, and yet some have tried to place its beginning in Acts 9 or 13, and I've even heard some make it Acts 18. It is true that a new thing was begun at this point, but it was not unknown. It was promised to Abraham that in his seed Israel, all nations should be blessed. The kingdom was first opened to the Gentiles by Peter in Acts 10. This is the first and last time that any of the 12 ever preached to Gentiles anywhere. And I know some people try to go into church history to figure this out, but we're going to leave that uncommented on. That Paul was preaching the mystery hid from ages and generations here in Acts 13 is impossible. Go read it. In Acts 26:22, Paul declared that he had said none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So as late as Acts 26, the mystery had not been revealed. The relationship of the Jew and Gentile during Acts also precludes any chance that the present dispensation began before Acts 28, verse 28. To the 12 was given the gospel of the circumcision. To Paul was given the gospel of the uncircumcision. There were two gospels at the same time in the book of Acts. Now there is just one faith, according to Ephesians 4:5. All the Jews were subject to the law during the whole Acts period. Acts 21:20. The Gentile believers of the same period were subject to only 4 points of the law. Read Acts 20:25. This shows that the Jews were still under the law and so still in covenant relationship to God. You hear that? The Jews in Acts were still in covenant relationship to God. The Gentiles, not being under the law at any time, were saved by the grace of God. So during Acts, the gospel of grace was to Gentiles, not to Jews. But after Acts, the Jew, being set aside and numbered among the nations again, needs the gospel of grace too. He no longer has any covenant. As late as Acts 28:20, Paul declared himself to be bound for the hope of Israel. But after Acts, he makes it known that he is a prisoner to the Gentile, for the Gentiles. See Ephesians 3:1, as we read at the beginning of the program. Most folks do not seem to be able to grasp the fact that Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, had a twofold ministry. During Acts, his message was concerned with the grafting in Gentiles where Jewish branches had been cut off. At that time, Gentiles were blessed only so that Israel might be blessed. Do you hear that? During the Acts, Gentiles were blessed only so that Israel might be blessed. This was to be accomplished by provoking them to bear fruit through envy. All blessing came through Israel. They were blessed with faithful Abraham. During this time, that is during the Acts period, the message was always to Jew first. Then if he rejected the gospel, he was cut off as a branch and Paul turned to the Gentiles. They then would be grafted in to take the place of the Jewish branch. But after Acts, Paul had the same message for both Jew and Gentile. They had been reconciled to each other and the both as one body reconciled to God. Do you hear that? After Acts, Paul had the same message for both Jew and Gentile. They had been reconciled to each other and the both of them as one body reconciled to God. See Ephesians 2 for further comments. The hope of the believers of the Acts period was the king and the kingdom. He was to come to the earth where he would set up the kingdom. His coming was their hope. 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4 set that hope. Since the church, which is his body, is not in any way connected with any earthly program, they do not expect or await his coming to earth. Rather, they will be waiting in heaven for his appearing there when the time comes for his manifestation. Now, I emphasize those words for a reason. The church, which is his body, will be waiting in heaven for his appearing there when the time comes for his manifestation. Colossians 3:1-4, Philippians 3:20. Each calling in the scriptures has its own separate resurrection, such as Job, the malefactor on Calvary. The Gentile nations have a resurrection at the judgment of the great white throne. And then we see the rest of mankind at the conclusion in 1 Corinthians 15. At the apocalypse, there will be raised earthly Israel. The scene is on earth. Immediately preceding will be the parousia, as recorded in 1 Thessalonians 4. This scene is in the clouds and in the air. But the epiphany, or the epiphania, the hope of the church, which is his body, is never set forth as a hope until after Acts 28. That makes it highly improbable that anything was known of the mystery during Acts. And I say improbable because I want you to search it yourself. I'm convinced of it. This study is not exhaustive, but it should spur the lovers of truth to further study and search the Word. Let us be sure we have all the evidence in place. Now, a couple other comments on the Acts period. Let's talk a little bit about the Gentile in Acts. From the giving of the law at Sinai till the time of the 10th chapter of Acts, no Gentile could receive blessing of God except he be circumcised to become subject to the law of Israel. In other words, he could not be blessed as a Gentile, but had to become one of Israel. So it was not until Peter opened the doors of the kingdom to the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius in Acts 10 that a Gentile could be blessed as such, in other words, as he is. There were no Gentiles in the church until after Cornelius was admitted. And by the way, we mean the church connected with the 12 apostles. So Cornelius had the distinction of being the first Gentile member of any New Testament church. Peter had to give an account of his actions before the church in Jerusalem, see Acts 11 for more comments. But the witness of the Holy Spirit in these converts was so strong that the Jewish Christians were convinced that Peter had done the right thing. Paul and Barnabas set out on their first missionary journey, and all the churches they visited the Gentiles and were saved. The number of Gentiles was increasing at Antioch. The Jewish Christians were troubled. They could not understand why Gentiles were not subject to the law, so a council was called at Jerusalem to settle the matter in Acts 15. The chief witness here seemed to be Peter. He reminded them of the former meeting and his recital of the events at the house of Cornelius. Then Paul and Barnabas told of their missionary journey and how God had blessed the Gentiles. After this, James took the floor and reasoned from the prophets that this was in order. So a decision was made. The Gentiles are to be free of the requirements of the law except for four things. And that's found in Acts 15, verse 29. So during Acts 10 through 28, there was a wall of separation between Jew and Gentile in the church. It was a wall made up of racial difference, observance of rites, that is Passover, circumcision, etc., and no Gentile could hold office or partake in the services of Romans 9:4. No Gentile could even enter into the temple. Remember what happened when Paul went into the temple with when they thought that a Gentile was with him? Well, that is the position. And this goes cross-grained. I know this goes against what the church is commonly taught, that the church begins in Acts. But I want to read you, and I just want to read this passage to you, and we're going to come back and comment on this tomorrow. Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22. Paul says this: "Remember that, ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, and the flesh made by hands, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, Paul says, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity." What was the enmity? "Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of the two one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you that were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens," and I'm going to correct the translation here, "fellow citizens of heaven's holiest of all, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Now Paul here in Ephesians 2 is showing the position of the Gentile before Paul's prison ministry. It doesn't talk about them being unsaved. It talks about them being without Christ dispensationally. The Gentile had an inferior position, but now in Christ Jesus the two are made one, and that certainly was not true in the book of Acts. Well, if you have any questions, you can go to our website and email us from there at crossandthrone.com. Again, our web address is crossandthrone.com. Our phone number, 847-312-4676. Again, go to our website, get a copy of the Companion Bible. And it's a great tool for study. We think you should get a copy of it. And there are many other great things we have available for you at our website. And these programs are downloadable for free. And if you're a listener and you like this program, you benefited from it, you believe what we believe, and you want to see this program continue to run, please consider supporting it. It does cost us money to put this on the air. And this is only for those of you who sympathize with this message and want to see it go out. Until next time, we have a very important thing to tell you. Remember this. Remember this very important message. The closer you draw near to Christ as he's revealed in the Word, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.